good. So you can be thankful for that. No blanks to fill out. So let's pray, and then I'll begin. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, all that we have in Christ, we are saved. We are given spiritual gifts, Father, to minister to each the other. We're given security. We're given a home. Father, we're given the Spirit of God to empower us to live the Christian life. We're given all these different blessings, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for each the other. We thank you that you are bringing each of us along individually, and so that we could be the people that you'd have us to be, even in this body, Father, that we all have different things that we can do and different functions that we are all individually good at, that you've gifted us to do. We just pray that we'd be united, that we'd be striving together. We just thank you even for this evening. Pray for me. Give me what I stand in need of, Father, to teach your word clearly and accurately. And just pray that this message is clear and accurate, and people here could, and on Zoom, Father, could take some principles from that, Father, and we can be more thankful, as oftentimes Christians are the most miserable people, the thankless people, Father, but as we know that you would have us to be thankful, and as we are empowered by the Spirit of God, that's where you would lead us, Father, and we just pray that we can be mindful of all those things, and we just thank you again for this evening. We just pray for this message in Christ's name. Amen. All right, President George Washington, on October 3rd, 1789, issued his Thanksgiving Proclamation, designating for the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving to be held on Thursday, the 26th of November, 1789. This marked the first national celebration of a holiday that has become commonplace in today's household. While subsequent presidents failed to maintain this tradition, it was Washington's original proclamation that guided Abraham Lincoln's 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation. In fact, Lincoln issued his proclamation on the same day, October 3rd, and marked the same day, Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26th, as Washington, which set Thanksgiving as the last Thursday of November. George Washington knew the value of a Thanksgiving Day long before becoming our first president. During the Revolutionary War, he would order special Thanksgiving services for his troops after successful battles, as well as publicly endorse efforts by the Continental Congress to proclaim days of thanks, usually in recognition of military victories and or alliances. So I'm going to read President Lincoln's proclamation here that he issued on October 3rd, 1863. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate, and often even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of the strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal, as the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the conscientious of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised nor hath any moral hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly and reverently and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and with one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances of blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers, and the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause a seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this third day of October in the year of the Lord 1863, and of the independence of the United States 88 by the President Abraham Lincoln. A lot of language in there we don't use anymore. It's kind of funny. You know, but today, instead of having a day of intentional worship of our Lord for what he is doing, usually on that Thanksgiving day, you know, we filled Thanksgiving with football, with shopping, with drinking, other things that have distracted us from a day of praise to our Creator God. As a nation, we don't acknowledge our sovereign God well because we are very distracted. You know, God didn't intend for us to be thankful just one day, although one day is a good start. There are believers today who don't come to worship service, some who mostly complain, some who aren't content, some who just go it alone, and those who don't rely on God for anything. Some who have gone the way of worldliness, they're bitter, they're complainers, they're thankless in their attitudes to each the other. You know, even if you don't fall into this camp, is Thanksgiving a normal part of your day? Is it a normal part of your language? Is it a normal part of how you communicate with each other? You know, how should we think about Thanksgiving? Should it be just one day? Should it be every day? Let's glean some observations to answer that question as we look at an example from the Old Testament about a Thanksgiving proclamation. And I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles here to 1 Chronicles 16. And we see here a Thanksgiving proclamation given by King David. The setting for this chapter here in 1 Chronicles is they had moved the tabernacle, or the ark, into the tabernacle here at Jerusalem, and which what God wanted them to do, and so David finally did it. And so now they had moved the ark into the tabernacle, and now they're setting up this day here of thanksgiving for God for all what he's done for the nation of Israel. And David commemorates this day by issuing a proclamation and setting up what he wants as king here for the nation of Israel. So David took this time to commemorate, to thank and to praise the Lord for all of what he has accomplished here for David and for the nation of Israel. So let's read here. We'll start in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Those guys will start with stringed instruments there at the end of the verse and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals, you know. And so it'd be okay at times to not get away from our piano and maybe incorporate a guitar or some other instruments. So if anyone's good at playing any type of instrument, go for it. The nation of Israel utilized a lot of different music instruments in their praise and worship of God. Verse 6, that those priests regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Verse 7, on that day David first delivered the psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all of the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he had made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed to it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, his loving kindness, endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. So who did it better, Abraham Lincoln or King David? I think King David had it down, right? So this is an amazing Thanksgiving proclamation. And just think of how this nation here rejoiced the Creator God, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of these people. You know, and I was convicted as I read this, because how often do we do this? I really praise the Lord for who he is. We think about God as a creator. We think about God as a redeemer. We think about God, and I mean, even 34, and this is something that, you know, from a memory verse, I'd encourage you to memorize it. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know, just even thinking about God and his goodness will have a huge impact on your Christian life. And we can praise the Lord, for he is good. He is always merciful as we go. And mercy there is always rendered better, loving kindness. For his loving kindness endures forever. And who wouldn't want a God who is good and who is always loving, who is always kind, and then that will endure forever. And so, you know, those are basic things that we can be thankful for to our God. And, you know, that's why I put this message together. I wanted to think about this. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail regarding all of the verses, and I'm not going to go verse by verse, but I want to highlight some principles as I was reading this that we should take and incorporate in our Christian lives as well. You know, so keep in mind, this is descriptive. Anytime we're in the Old Testament, it's descriptive of what happened. And this is what happened with David and the nation of Israel. It's not always prescriptive, and so not everything in here we do 100%. But there's certain principles that have been carried forward even in the New Testament, which I will draw those principles out for us here this evening. So the first thing there I'd like to have you see is that this attitude of gratitude, some observations that I'm making. The first one was intentional. David was intentional. He was filled with the Word of God, and he was powered by the Spirit. And so we see here a couple things in some of these verses. So in verse 2, and when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And so typically when an Old Testament believer was offering things to God, he was filled. The Spirit of God worked differently in the Old Testament. It would come and go. But it was with David here, and so he was filled with the Spirit of God. And even in verse 7 here, he was intentional. He had thought a lot about this proclamation that he had put together. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph, the priest there, and his brethren to thank the Lord. And so it was intentional. It was thought out. It was something that he was thinking about. And in fact, you know, he was deliberate, focused with this thanksgiving. He thought about this proclamation and created it from three previously written psalms. And so he had already more or less put this message together. And so oftentimes that's what even speakers do. They incorporate things that have already been taught and put it together in a different message. And this is what David did. So Psalm, or 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 22 is actually Psalm 105, 1 through 15. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 33 is actually Psalms 96, 1b to 13a. And then 1 Chronicles 16, 34 through 36 is Psalms 106, 1b through c, and then 47 and 48. So David had wrote those Psalms, and he incorporated them into this proclamation message to the nation of Israel. You know, Thanksgiving, though, is a mental attitude. And it's not based on feelings. That's one thing that you have to remember. You must choose to praise the Lord and have an attitude of gratitude. And this is opposite of what your sin nature can produce, because your sin nature can only produce thanklessness. And so you need to be intentional. You need to be led of the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Word of God in order to produce thankfulness and an attitude of gratitude. You know, so if we want to be thankful like David, there are two initial things that we need to consider. First, a biblical understanding and being filled with the Word of God is a necessity. David used these three psalms to write this, and so he knew the Word of God well. And so the first thing here that you need to be understanding of, if you want to have an attitude of gratitude, if you want to be thankful in your Christian life, is you need to be filled with the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God well. You know, and even we're reminded of that in Colossians here. There's a couple verses that I'd like to point you to. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And what is the knowledge of his will? The Word of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, and then that'll lead you to giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So, the Word of God will lead you to a thankful attitude, to a giving thanks attitude, to an attitude of gratitude as you're filled with the Word of God. Because as your mind is occupied with the Word of God, you now have something to be thankful for, because you realize all that God has given you in this Christian life or whatever it is. Chapter 2, 6 through 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And how do we receive Jesus Christ the Lord? By faith, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So as you've been established in the faith, if you've been taught the Word of God, as you walk with him, you now can abound in it with thanksgiving. And so those are requirements and prerequisites to being thankful and abounding with thanksgiving, is to be filled with the Word of God. And then 3:16 here, and 3:17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so, again, the let the Word of God or Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It'll lead you to wisdom, to teaching and admonishing one another, and psalms and hymns. And psalms and hymns is another version of way that we can offer thanksgiving to each the other and to ultimately God. And so, again, it requires you to be filled with the Word of God. So the Word of God will lead you to an attitude of gratitude. And second, though, God has designed the Christian life to be lived under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Spirit-filled life is a vital source of thanksgiving. So we see here in Colossians 2, 6 and 7 there, that middle one, is that as therefore you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. So how do we receive him? Again, we walk with him by faith. And walking with Jesus Christ by faith is the Spirit-filled life, is the spiritual life. And so when you are Spirit-filled, you will be thankful. Not only that, Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So what is the will of the Lord? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So the word or the will of God is that you're filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, then you can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you are Spirit-filled, the Spirit of God will lead you to giving thanks always. And so can you really say that you give thanks always? And so this often is a barometer of your Christian life. If you're miserable, typically, if you're miserable and you're spilling not nice, or you're spilling not nice things, usually that's a barometer to say, hey, you're filled with self. You're not filled with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. But if you're giving thanks, that's a barometer saying that, hey, I'm being filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead you to a thankful heart and a gracious heart as you are with each the other. You know, so the Spirit of God will lead you to an attitude of gratitude. The very presence of thanksgiving points to the Holy Spirit as a source of thanksgiving, because without the work of the Spirit, it is impossible to please God. So being intentional with an attitude of gratitude requires us to be in the Word of God and powered by the Spirit of God. We can't be thankful if we are self-dependent, powered by the sin nature. So that was the first observation here that I gleaned here from 1 Chronicles 16. A second observation is that thanksgiving, or having an attitude of gratitude, is expressed in multiple different ways. And so the expression here that David utilized and the nation of Israel utilized was they sang, they prayed, they shared, and they provided, or they gave offerings. And so we have a few verses there. We'll start in verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. And so calling upon his name could be a sign of praying, right? You're calling on the name. You're talking to him. Make known his deeds among the people. You're sharing all of what God has done with others. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. In verse 29, give to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In verse 31, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. You know, so we can express our attitude of gratitude in multiple ways. You know, first we can share what God has done with others. You know, and Scott Johnson, when he was here, he talked about Nebuchadnezzar, thank you, of how when he was struck and he was eating of the grass and whatever else, after all of that, he shared what God had done with the whole world, right? So he wanted the whole world to know the wonders of God. You know, and so as we have an attitude of gratitude, we should also voice that to other people. We should be sharing what God is doing in our lives with each the other or with the unsaved or whatever it is. And so we should be sharing. And so if you're having an attitude of gratitude, that is expressed sometimes in a sharing ministry where you're sharing that that attitude with others. You know, part of being an ambassador of Christ is to share how awesome God is and has been in your Christian life, or it will be for whatever promises or things that you're thinking about. You know, so how often do you talk about God with others and what God is doing in your Christian life? You know, and so we need to be thinking about that as we want to share what God is doing to others. Secondly, we can express our attitude of our gratitude with offerings. You know, so these are Old Testament sacrifices, and the Old Testament required different sacrifices. And so, but we are no longer under a sacrificial system, but we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We know that in Romans 12. You know, and but one thing to think about too is, you know, on our Sunday service, we do have a time of offering. And why do we have a time of offering during our worship service? You know, so during our worship service, we need to be thankful, thinking about what God would have us to do in this to give money to support the church. And so we need to be purposeful in our giving. And what else will God lead you to? He wants you to have an attitude of gratitude, right? And so even our offerings on Sunday is another time to worship God, because you're acknowledging all that you have is really God's, and so you're giving to God what is already His. And so God will lead you to that attitude of gratitude in your giving as well. And so that's one way that we can provide offerings in our attitude of gratitude as we worship our God. A third way to express our attitude of gratitude is sing praises to our God. And, you know, I would encourage you to come to our worship service every Sunday. And, you know, a Sunday, sometimes it's you get up there and there's only like a handful of people there. Fortunately, you know, everyone sings with a joyous noise, or at least a noise. And I would be more encouraged on Sundays if people would come and to praise our God. And so we typically have four songs before the message and a song after. And all of those songs are intentional in driving worship to our Savior. And so if you think about the first song, I haven't really shared this before, but if the first song, what is my first song on Sunday mornings? What does it usually do? Praise God, right? It leads you into a worship. It's usually an upbeat song. It gets you kind of in the mood of praising God, right? What's my second song? What does it remind you of? The gospel. So I always do a gospel message before that second song. That second song always has to do with the gospel, reminding us again about what Christ has done to save us. And so what is my third song? Does anyone know? Giving, yep. Or something in the Christian life. So usually the third song has to do with what God is doing in our Christian lives. Usually it's, you know, God is our refuge. God is in our lives as a prayer, or whatever else it is. That's usually the third song to remind us of what God is doing in our Christian lives. And the fourth song is always a wild card, because that one, typically, we try to do something to get us in the mindset of what the message will be about. And then pastor picks the fifth song, usually that is on the message that he gave. And so that's the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. And it's all meant to drive you to worship God for what he has done, who he is, something that he's doing in your Christian life, something about the Word of God. And so it's all meant to worship God for who and what he's doing. But, you know, if we're going to do it sincerely and to sing, we need to be dependent on our God to do that. And there's a couple verses here about our singing and what God would have us to do. Psalm 69, 30 through 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So our worship service on Sunday mornings, or any time that you're going to sing praises to our God, magnifies him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. So even in the Old Testament system of sacrificing and providing sacrifices to God, God is always viewed praising him with song as a step up or better than a sacrificial system of animals, animal sacrifices. So think about that when you're singing. You don't have to be a good singer. God is asking you to sing praises to him. And in fact, that's what we're going to be doing for an eternity in the future. So if you don't like singing today, God will make you like singing in the future. But I would hope that you enjoy singing today, because God wants you to sing praises to him. Psalm 147, 1 and 7. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. A fourth and last way to express an attitude of gratitude is through prayer. You know, as we think about prayer, and Joel, when he leads us in prayer on Sunday mornings, he typically has a time of thanksgiving, right? So he's thanking God for certain things. He's asking for intercession, different requests that God can intervene in or whatever else. And so, but if you listen to his prayers on Sunday, it usually involves some form of thanksgiving to God for who he is and what he's done. We see a couple verses here, Ephesians 1:15 and 16, and how we can utilize prayer as an expression of our attitude of gratitude. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so, what a powerful verse. Do not cease to give thanks for you. So I would take this as that every time the Apostle Paul would think about these believers in Ephesus, he would thank the Lord for them, and he would make mention of them in your prayers. And so when you are thinking about each the other, I'd encourage you to pray for each the other, and even don't cease to give thanks for each other. I think it will lead you, even in, as we are striving together with each other, if we're thankful for each other, and if we're extending grace to each other and having that mindset, how much better would our relationships be amongst each other if we had that attitude? Something to think about. If you're praying for something, you know, Pastor Roxer always used to say, if you're praying for someone, you're not bitter. It's hard to be bitter towards someone if you're going to be praying for them. So if you're bitter, start praying for that person. That might help you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So there's that thanksgiving element always with this prayer and supplication. Because if you're anxious, you're probably not thankful if you're anxious, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. And so, again, this thanksgiving should be an element or an expression of when you pray. 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I exert, first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so that's something, again, that you should be thinking about. And then I utilize the New American Standard on this version here of Colossians 4:2, but devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So our prayer life should have an element or an expression of our attitude of gratitude. It should have a thanksgiving element in our prayer to our God. So we express our attitude of gratitude through singing, through an offering, through sharing, and praying. A third observation is, if you are thankful, you are acknowledging that without God, you are nothing. And so it's acknowledgement, rely upon God and his strength. and to remember the works that God has done in your life. And so let's look at here in 1 Chronicles 11. Again, we need to acknowledge who God is if we're going to have an attitude of gratitude. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. So we have to come to him. We have to acknowledge him. And then verse 12 there, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You know, because if we rely on his strength, we realize that we had nothing to offer God. And so we need to acknowledge that God is the one that has saved us, to keeps us saved, to empowers us to live the Christian life or whatever else. And we're reminded there in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And so that's acknowledging a sovereign God there, knowing that we're not sufficient in anything that God has called us to do. We're not sufficient. We need to be powered by the Spirit of God to do anything that we do in the Christian life. And so if we're going to have an attitude of gratitude, we need to realize that God is the one that gives us the strength, and he's the one that makes us sufficient. You know, the concept of thankfulness comes from the use of two Greek words, charismai, which has the word charis in it, which means grace. And so if you're going to be thinking of thanksgiving, you got to be thinking of the word grace. And the other one is homologeo, to confess or acknowledge. Thankfulness is a mental and or verbal expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person, his grace, blessing, and sovereign work in one's life. And so it's to confess or acknowledge charis or grace, what God is doing. You know, to be thankful, we need to have biblical understanding, trust, humility, grace, the right focus, values, joy. And so all of that, again, comes from the Spirit of God. We are nothing without God. If you believe you are sufficient, that you can handle anything yourself, you tend not to be thankful in your Christian life. Colossians here, 1:10-14, reminds us of many things, the objects of thanksgiving. One, God allows us, or he is the one that bears the fruit. He doesn't ask us to, or we bear the fruit. He produces the fruit. We're growing, we're being strengthened, and we can give thanks, all because of what God is doing. And so, you know, verse 10 here, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. And again, we are not the ones that produces the fruit. God only asks us to bear the fruit as we are abiding in the vine and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so as we walk with the Spirit of God, God will increase our knowledge as we walk with him by faith. Not only that, he strengthens us with all his might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And not only that, it leads us to giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, we need to remember that it was God alone that delivered us from the death and hell and conveyed us into the kingdom of God. And do you know this? Do you know that you've been saved forever? Have you been conveyed from darkness into the kingdom of God's Son? The only way that can happen is if you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you. You were incapable of saving yourself. You're incapable of eternal life with God forever. The only thing that you are capable of is being separated from God for all eternity because of your sin. And so if you realize that there's nothing that you can do to be saved, and that Jesus Christ is the one who came into the world, he died for your sin no longer is the issue. If you believe that, and you place your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you on the cross, that he died, he spilt his blood, he paid the sin debt penalty for you. And if you believe that by faith, take him at his word, believe it by faith, you now can be saved. And this, you can now give thanks, verse 12, you can give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son. And so if you have nothing to be thankful for, this would be something that you could be thankful for, that you are saved. You are going to be in heaven forever, for all eternity. And so if you're thinking, if you don't know what to be thankful for, you can always go back to this. And so as you're filled with the Word of God, as you are powered by the Spirit of God, God will remind you of even how he has delivered you. And you can be thankful now for what he's doing. And not only that, he's strengthening you with all his might. He's increasing in the knowledge of God. And you're bearing fruit. God is producing fruit in your Christian life. All those are objects of thanksgiving. So if you're looking for something to be thankful for, Colossians 1, 10 through 14 has 4 or 5 nuggets there that you can be thankful for. We need to remember that it was God alone, again, that delivered us from hell and conveyed us to the kingdom of God. So some general reasons why we should be thankful. First reason there, is because it honors God. We are thankful. When we are thankful, we recognize that God exists, and we are acting on the reality of his life as a very source and means of ours. True thankfulness recognizes our total dependence on God and stems from realizing that everything going on in our lives and all that we have is a product of God's sovereign control, infinite wisdom, purposes, grace, and activity. So that's a reason here to be thankful. Another reason is it's commanded in Scripture. You know, the Psalms, we saw those. The Psalms are filled with calls to give thanks to our God. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which we'll cover here in a second, but, you know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 3:15-17 here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Paul here is commanding us to be thankful, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so it's commanded. Not only that, because of the dangerous consequences of thanklessness. Thanklessness is dangerous to self and others. It dishonors God and leads to proud humanism or dependence on man rather than God. In addition, it leads to bitterness, complaining, and a joyless life. Since thankfulness is a response to the grace of God, its opposite, bitterness, with its companions, complaining and grumbling, are the product of an unthankful heart that fails to properly respond to God in faith to his person, his infinite wisdom, grace, and purposes. Thanklessness promotes pettiness and occupation with self, people, and problems. So I'm sure we've all been there before. You know, you could probably ask your spouse at times, we're thankless as husbands or wives. I don't know if you're ever thankless, but I know husbands are thankless at times. And what happens? Usually we are filled with self. We're filled with pride. We're filled with pettiness or whatever else. So thanklessness promotes pettiness and occupation with self, people, and problems. That in turn creates depression and feelings of hopelessness because we've become focused on our problems rather than on the Lord. You know, so we want to be careful in our Christian lives to not go down that path, because if we're thankless, that causes destruction sometimes amongst relationships and each the other. And so again, I would encourage you to be filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will lead you to an attitude of gratitude. Be occupied with God and the Word of God in your mind, so that you can then now have an attitude of gratitude. Even as you think about other people or things about life or whatever else, and you can have an attitude of gratitude even amongst problems and difficulty and whatever else. You know, thankfulness then becomes a spiritual barometer. You know, it's evidence of the condition of our spiritual life. We spill what we are filled with. You need to acknowledge the Lord in your life if you want to be thankful. And thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness, of murmuring and pettiness, of pride. And it's the opposite of self-trust. So that was my third observation. There is you have to acknowledge God and what he's doing in your life. The fourth observation of an attitude of gratitude is that you praise God for who he is. These are the attributes of and reasons for praise that were observed in David's proclamation of thanksgiving. And, you know, there might be a few more. I'm sure there are a few more that I missed. But these are things that I thought about as I was meditating on 1 Chronicles 16. These are the things that I observed. And these are things that, you know, we can also praise God for. God is, he's always the same. So he was the same to the nation of Israel as he is us to us today. And so his attributes cross dispensations, and these are who he is. And so, you know, the first one there being sovereign, God is in control of all things. He's providential. He provides for you. Just like he provided for the nation of Israel, he provides for you, and he promises to provide for you. He's faithful. He's promise-keeping. Just think of all the things that God did to the nation of Israel. He saved the remnant. He promised a future nation for the future kingdom for the nation of Israel. So he's promise-keeping. So if he's faithful to the nation of Israel, he's also faithful to us, right? He's a deliverer. Not only did he save Israel from all of their issues with neighboring countries and whatever else, he led them through different countries. He's a physical deliverer. Not only that, he's a spiritual deliverer. He's the promise there in Genesis 3. He's the deliverer who has saved us from sin and conveyed us to the kingdom of God. He's great. He's good. He's a creator. He's all-powerful. He's merciful. His loving kindness endures forever. He's eternal. So these are things that I gleaned from 1 Chronicles 16. David was thinking about as he wrote these psalms, and then he put them here in this Thanksgiving proclamation. God is someone that we should be praising for all of these different things. Now, even Psalm 100, 3 through 5, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, so he's creator, and that not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So all of those things should cause us to be thankful, and in his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So God has many, many attributes here, even in this passage. He's good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. He's God, he's creator, he protects us in the pasture. All of those different things should cause us to have an attitude of gratitude and to praise the Lord for all of what he is doing. The last observation of an attitude of gratitude is that the outcome brings glory to God. And we see that here in verse 24. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Verse 28, give to the Lord, O families of the people, give the Lord glory and strength. And verse 29 there, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So the outcome of an attitude of gratitude is it glorifies God. It brings glory to our God. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all the things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So the first section here of the message here covered David's proclamation of thanksgiving, and we extracted some principles to glean. As we think about thanksgiving, is it just one day, or should it be a daily occurrence in our Christian lives? You know, having an attitude of gratitude is not a one-time event. Thanksgiving should be regular and frequent. Let me cause you to turn your eyes here to verse 37, 1 Chronicles 16. We see here David's command here for the nation of Israel about future worship of God. So he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly, as every day's work required. And with Obed-Edom and with his 68 brethren, including those guys to be gatekeepers and the priests there, verse 40, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly, morning and evening, and do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, I don't know, and the rest who were chosen were also designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, I don't know, and the Lord sound aloud with trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of those guys were the gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. So we see here David commanded his people. They ministered regularly every day. It was a requirement, morning and evening. They gave thanks to the Lord because his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. You know, what about today? How should we as Christians think about Thanksgiving? And I would say, God, with all the verses that we've already seen, God is encouraging us to be thankful always. In 1 Thessalonians, here 1:2-3, Pastor has covered this. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So we gave thanks to God always for you all. And so they made mention again in prayers. We saw that in the book of Ephesians as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always. So again, that's a way to express an attitude of gratitude, right? We already saw that, rejoicing. Pray without ceasing, is that another expression of an attitude of gratitude? It is, right? And everything give thanks. So we have three expressions of an attitude of gratitude. You're going to rejoice, you're going to pray, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's God's will for you to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So God wants an attitude of gratitude from believers. It's his command here for us as believers to have an attitude of gratitude, to express thanksgiving, not only to God, but to each the other as well. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, giving thanks always. For what things? All things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so is that all things really all things? Is 1 Thessalonians 5 there? In everything? Is that in everything really in everything? The good and the bad? You know, it's easy to be thankful when things are going right. But what about when you have trials and difficulties? Is it okay to not to be thankful? Is it okay to whine, to complain, to grumble, and to be thankless when bad things happen or things that you don't like happen or whatever else? No. The Bible doesn't promise us smooth sailing all the time. On this side of heaven, we will face ups and downs. If we believe in a sovereign God who is always good, who has our best in mind, who loves us, who is passionate and kind, then we can be thankful even with difficulties. And, you know, these are some verses I want to leave you with that hopefully encourage you. If you're struggling, if you're going through a difficulty, God would have you to even have an attitude of gratitude and express thanksgiving to him for all that he has done in your life. Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so this is a promise for you that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things are working together for good. If we believe in a God that loves us, if we believe in a God that's good, who is faithful, then we can be reminded that God will get us through whatever trial that we are facing. And James 1:2-4, my brethren, count it all joy Not only should be you should be thankful for those times of difficulty, not that you're thankful for those times of difficulty, but you're thankful for God who is in control of the situation. And we can praise God for being in control. We can praise God for all of what he's still accomplishing. And God will get us through that trial on his time. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God wants to refine your faith in that trial. But God is still good. God is still praiseworthy when difficulty and trials happen. Psalm 68:19, again, New American Standard here. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. So God is the one who bears our burden. As we depend upon him, as we depend upon his strength in our Christian life, God is the one that will get us through that trial. And he is the one that bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. So while it is good to celebrate Thanksgiving as a country once a year, it is better as a Christian to be thankful moment by moment in the Christian life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for what David here showed us here in 1 Chronicles 16 about having a right attitude of gratitude, of having a thankful heart. Father, we just pray that we can be walking with you, that we can be depending upon you, Father, as your Spirit will lead us to an attitude of gratitude, a thankful heart. Father, we don't want to be bitter. We don't want to be have thanklessness in our Christian life, Father, but we want to extend grace to each other. We want to be thankful for all of what you are doing, Father. We just pray for that. We just thank you again for this Christian life. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has conveyed us into the kingdom of God here, Father, and removed us from the sin and darkness, Father, and we just thank you for that, all through what Christ has done. And we just pray for this evening now, Father, and pray for travel mercies on our way home, and we pray for all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. So we have one more song here, the Gratitude Attitude.